Good morning. You're listening to 4daily.net, and I'm Kemp Haar. This morning, my guest is David Crow, who's chief economist with the National Association of Home Builders. David, how you doing?
I'm good, Kemp. Glad to join you today.
Yeah, it's good to be with you. Good way to start the week. So looking at the single-family housing market, most of the economists that I talk to have said that, you know, one of the reasons that 2014 was a lackluster year was because of the performance of single-family production. Tell us now, as you take a look at 14, most of it's in the rearview mirror, how are we going to end the year? How much is it up? Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, you're right. I'm unfortunately in that same group of economists that expected a better year than we actually ended up with. So we're thinking that by the after all the books are closed, that the single-family production will finish out 2014 at about 640,000 units. That's just a hair above what we had in 2013. It's about 3% improvement. And that started with a really poor weather start at the beginning of the year, and then it just extended into the year.
As I look at what you're calling for, in 2015, you're expecting that to go up 26% to 802,000, and then all the way up to 1.1 million in 2016. So what's going to happen in 15 and 16 that didn't happen in 14?
Confidence is going to come back. You know, in a simple word, what we've really been waiting for is the tail that fell over many homeowners, and certainly those potential homeowners, those younger people, as we came out of the recession. The recession recovery was like none we'd ever seen before. It was slow. It was irregular. And those clouds are gradually dissipating. So we have good, solid mortgage rates, very low by relative sense. We continue to have improvement in home prices. We finally have seen very consistent improvements in employment and strong growth in the overall economy. So these sort of convincing economic indicators are what are going to turn the people's minds to finally seeing a positive outlook, to seeing that a great opportunity to move forward. And we have a lot of pent-up demand. We have a lot of people who would have normally moved through the normal life cycles of job changes, family changes, and so forth. So that has to eventually start moving forward. And I see that gradually in 2015, 25% increase, not unusual for a recovery year. And unfortunately, housing recovery year is just more delayed than in a typical cycle.
Well, isn't that funny? I mean, if I roll back to what you've just said, it's about attitude. It's about sentiment. You know, because some people would say, well, the banks have been too strict in their lending policies. The government has got too much going on as far as their intervention and regulation. When I asked you to do this interview with me a couple weeks ago, we had just read the news that there is some Freddie Mac, Fannie Mae movement to loosen the purse strings, and now you only must put down 3%. Talk a little bit about all that, if you would.
Well, that's right. I think that's exactly what I'm speaking about, is that there are these reassessment of some of the more strict rules we put into place, both from the standpoint of the government and the regulators, but also from the standpoint of individuals feeling their own restrictions and deciding, no, I need to hold back until I feel more comfortable about the economy. In the case of Fannie and Freddie, the regulator has issued a couple of relaxations, if you will. One, they would be allowed to go back to 3% down mortgages. Up to this point, they were only accepting 5% down mortgages. So that should loosen the ability, particularly for the first-time buyer. Nevertheless, still having strong underwriting standards behind those so that we're not going back to what we used to do. I think the more important announcement was that the regulator will clarify the situations in which Fannie and Freddie would return a mortgage to the originator. That has been a difficulty by mortgage originators who have suffered from inconsequential errors in their paperwork, and nevertheless, that's been a sufficient reason for Fannie Mae or Freddie Mac to return the mortgage. That's something an originator just doesn't want to see. So a more clear line over what is acceptable and what isn't, I think, will also encourage more mortgage lending.
So that line has been defined because we have a senator here in Tennessee, you know, Corker, who says that there should be some recourse to a lender who goes out and recklessly gives a loan. And if something defaults, perhaps some of that should come back to that original institution.
No question. And that, those are still in place. There were many, many new restrictions imposed because of the Dodd-Frank legislation that was passed several years ago. But what I'm talking about is the unfortunate occurrence of clerical errors and inconsequential items that were then used basically as an excuse to say, well, you just have to take this mortgage back. It caused a lot of difficulty in the mortgage lending, and it has been one of the contributing factors behind the tight underwriting standards, is that there's no clear rules anymore of what is considered a mistake and what is criminal.
I see. Okay. Well, another thing we've talked about, you and I, in previous interviews, are some of these generational trends. And when you look at other economies, too, like in Europe, it's more of a renter economy over there. So we've seen, obviously, a surge in multifamily where people are going to the rental side. Do you think we're going to get back to what's been normal in the United States as far as home ownership?
I think we'll get back to normal, yes. I think we're in a transition period in which many people, because of these tight underwriting standards or because of the poor job prospects, have not moved forward into home ownership where they would have normally. Preference surveys suggest that's true, that most people, particularly those young and not yet established themselves, do feel like home ownership is for them for the future, but it's not as immediate because of these economic situations.
I see. All right. So that sounds very encouraging because, you know, most of my audience is in floor covering, and we sell a lot more floor covering when we build more houses.
No question there's a direct relationship, and we're certainly looking to build and sell more houses as we finally climb out of this huge dip in home construction.
All right, great. It's good to talk to you, David. Appreciate the update on what's going on with the building market. Again, been talking to David Crow, chief economist with the National Association of Home Builders, and you've been listening to Kemp Haar and FloorDaily.net.